This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 2.
You ready for best and worst of the weekend?
I am. And we had some really good stuff this weekend.
Yeah.
Some really good stuff.
I thought it was pretty clear cut, actually.
Yeah.
In many respects.
Yeah, totally agree.
I guess we can start with the 252nd meeting all time between Carolina and Duke, can't we? I mean, that's the easy place. We said it at the top. Say it again. They deliver. And Saturday night, no exception. Great environment in Chapel Hill for the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils. And Full House watches the latest edition of the Battle of the Blues.
The game had everything you wanted.
Right.
I mean, like I said, if you are a fringe college basketball fan and you happen to turn this game on and you were not entertained, I highly suggest you find something better to do with your time. This game was tremendous. Mm-hmm. It had everything. Drama, crazy endings. Obviously, there's always controversy, seems to be. Everybody thinks, this call, whatever the case may be. Two great Hall of Fame coaches, big-time environment. It's Duke. It's North Carolina. Does not get any better.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any better.
Unbelievable. Virginia got to 70. That's a best.
Who's got – for me, I put it down there because we've seen enough Virginia this year. In fact, I believe it was a bark or bite or over and under or one of those deals.
Would they get to 70 was the question,
yeah,
right?
And yeah, I think we both said no. And if you watch this game, Virginia was tremendous offensively in the second half. In rallying and all of a sudden taking the lead late against Louisville, and Louisville's been out of sight down the stretch. This was a if we didn't have Duke North Carolina, we'd be gushing about this game as, man, did you see the Louisville Virginia game? And for obviously for Louisville, they finally snapped their 9-game losing streak to Virginia. But the fact that Virginia offensively kind of looked the part, to me, is an incredible positive moving forward for the Hoos.
Some of the best of the weekend also falls to Quentin Hillsman and Syracuse's women, who beat Louisville yesterday at the Dome. Kiara Lewis, 24 points for the Orange, and a pretty important win over number 5 Louisville, who had lost earlier in the week to Florida State.
As we pointed out, back-to-back losses for Louisville, and as we just talked about during the women's segment, Thursday is a huge, and I mean huge, game. With Louisville going on the road to red-hot NC State, first place at stake in the ACC regular season run.
Yep. So congratulations to Coach Hillsman and the Orange on that. Now, you mentioned this one next on the Best of the Weekend. Friday night's environment in Raleigh for North Carolina and NC State in wrestling was second to none.
Rocked.
Holy
smokes.
Absolutely
rocked, dude. This was fantastic. People were into it. Standing room only. Two really talented teams. NC State at home. I keep telling you, it doesn't matter if it's checkers, wrestling, football, basketball, whatever. When the red and white and the Carolina blue get together, it's going to be intense. And these two teams are both loaded.
Yep.
And they got after it all the way down to the final match. It was a loser leave town match.
Look at the crowd.
Place is going crazy. Going nuts. So, again, Friday night duels on ACC Network. I'm just telling you, just grab your popcorn, man. They put on a show. And Virginia Tech, NC State coming up this week, two top 7 teams getting after. 3 against number 7 nationally. The league's got 4 tremendous programs. But the Friday night, it was happening in Raleigh.
By the way, the ACC championships are in Pittsburgh,
right,
at Fitzgerald Fieldhouse. We just showed you the environment there with the theater lights and so forth.
We started all this stuff, if you remember, with North Carolina and Virginia Tech and Blacksburg.
Right. And that was a pretty good environment.
People were into it.
The other night with the dark lighting, the spotlight on the mat in Pittsburgh, you heard all these howls in the background. You're thinking, holy cow, a creature's going to come out of the dark.
That's cool. I, when I saw the first one,
right,
I remember starting a text with all you idiots. And I said, listen, man, I'm telling you, this wrestling thing's got some juice.
Yeah.
We missed it. We missed it. But we've been on the bandwagon since, and the characters, the coaches, and the quality of the teams are outstanding. I mean, you've got 4 basically top 10 programs in this league in wrestling, and on Friday nights, now on ACC Network, they put on a show. Put on a show.
We should check with the Lumberjacks here. I'm guessing we're going to show the wrestling championships. Do we know, Drew, Josh, do we know? if we're getting the wrestling championships? Do we? Oh, there they are. Josh Macri on the left, Drew Brooks on the right.
Brooks, by the way, back from a three-day, two-nights Big Easy road trip. You can tell by the circles under his eyes.
Yeah. Some sort of, was that like one of those corporate tour packages you signed up for?
No, bachelor party. But these bags are under my eyes permanently.
Oh, okay, got it.
By the way, who's on the back row?
Yeah, today
we have Hank, John, Lewis.
Hank, John, Lewis. There's the boys.
We have Spencer in the back bunker.
Yep.
I mean, in the radio bunker. Sorry.
All right. Yeah.
And then Brian is in the back bunker.
Who's the lensman today?
Who's the lensman? Yeah.
Tim.
Dave is the lensman. Look at you guys. You're not even sure on a Monday who's on the roster.
No, we should have known, too. Dave is a big wrestling guy. He's a high school wrestling coach here. So we've been talking so much wrestling, we shouldn't have got that wrong.
And we've got Captain Ron today, too.
Yeah, Captain Ron's flying this plane. Yep. That's right. Yeah.
Like it. By the way, what was the highlight in New Orleans? Other than returning.
I got to play golf, which was fun. Had some travel issues that were probably the highlight of my trip, honestly.
No, we're not going to go there.
Anything we could expense to the company?
No. I didn't pay for it. We had a guy that paid for everything. It was great.
Paid for everything, including the travel?
No, I bought my own ticket.
Oh, okay.
But everything else was covered.
I'd say some kind of bachelor party, some cat flips for the fare. Was he
paying in cash?
It's just one of these guys that wanted to show everybody that
Is he late in life to the altar, so to speak, and therefore he's going to pay for everything? Or
I just met the guy Friday, but I don't know. I think he's on his second marriage.
And having a bachelor party. Attaboy. Powering through, isn't he, Pack?
Yeah, buddy. I can tell you are about as uncomfortable trying to answer these questions as any man on the planet Earth right now.
I mean, you know, New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly my point.
Battle of New Orleans. That's what I always tell people. It's the reason.
All right, let's move on here.
Yeah, I figured
it. The real question I had was, you guys know whether or not the ACC wrestling championships. Are we gonna have those here? I think that's gonna be on the network, isn't it? I would imagine.
We don't know if we're gonna be there or not.
We don't know. I don't know. I know we're not gonna be there, but we don't know if the network's gonna have that. Right? We're still working through that. We haven't gotten any.
We're working through that.
All right. Good.
Remember, it's all about priorities. Derby wrestling.
Jiminy whiz.
Derby wrestling.
Oh boy.
New Orleans.
All right. Let's resume. Clemson softball. We mentioned John Rittman, who was great to visit with us last week. Tell us about kind of how this program has been born. And then Pack, they go and win their first game.
Pretty cool.
Yep. Absolutely.
First of many for the Tigers.
You bet. And by the way, you will see Clemson's first ever home game here on Wednesday, 2:30 on ACC Network. It's a doubleheader. 2:30 and 5:00 for the Tigers, and congratulations to Coach Rittman and Clemson.
And no doubt. And again, before we get to our next topic, as I mentioned earlier, Florida State, fresh off of beating the number one team in the country twice, and got off to a blistering start for the Noles.
Yeah,
just saying.
Florida State makes this list, by the way. The Noles 13 threes. They were 13 of 26 from three. Raekwon Evans, you have some.
Are they ever going to lose at home again, Wes?
Patrick Williams, you have some. They're going to lose at home. I guess at some point.
I mean,
this year,
lost,
I don't know, but at some point.
It's what, 61 of 64?
How about Wyatt Wilkes catch and shoot threes?
And 19 straight wins. They have been out of sight.
And by the way, I haven't been there this year, but the Tucker Center has become a bit of a pit for visiting teams.
Oh. Now, of course, it all has to do with the players. I get that. But, man, the crowd's into it.
The environment.
Crowd's into it. And they now know that they're a factor. You come to our house, our team's really good, and the crowd is totally bought in to what Leonard's selling.
I have a undergrad student graduating in May.
Right. She's going to be with us at the Derby.
No. And she is She has told me that the environment at the Tucker Center has gone from here to here in a very short period of time.
Which is cool because, let's be honest, football for the last couple of years has been a bit flat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, you know, Doak Campbell's always had the great reputation. People were into it. And, you know, you kind of find what else can we get fired up about. And right now, basketball has been terrific.
Yep.
Really good.
Don't know that he'll be the ACC player of the week, but I will tell you, Stephon Mitchell makes best of the weekend. Young man from Shakopee, Minnesota. And this is a ball game here now. 21 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists. He's got a valuable game to Jim Christian's team. And I got to tell you, when this game went to overtime, I thought Boston College had missed their window.
I agree with you.
And totally all agree. Of a sudden, the old Eagles went and found it. And BC is 6-7 and tied for 8th.
And they're playing good basketball.
Yes,
they are. They lost to Duke last week in a game really that they controlled early,
yep.
Had a chance to win late. Coach Kate, when he was on with us on Friday, yep. Talked about, man, that BC team is playing really good basketball, and they are. I really thought this would be the game Virginia Tech snapped their losing streak mm-hmm. and got well at home.
Right.
And like you said, when that thing got to overtime, you're thinking, all right, they'll put the clamps on this. And Nolly was out of sight. He went off, 29-11, I think were his numbers for the mm-hmm. weekend. But the Hokies got to figure it out. But right now, BC's been a pleasant surprise.
Yep, sure has. And Jim Christian gets another road win. I mean, he's got Notre Dame, Carolina, Virginia Tech. Pretty solid. When we come back, we'll get to the worst of the weekend. But first, a reminder to you that Wednesday afternoon, a little bit of history here. Clemson plays their first ever game at home in softball. 2:30 and 5 o'clock. We got a doubleheader for you right here on ACC Network as we unveil our coverage of women's softball in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Western Carolina, Clemson. Double dip for you Wednesday afternoon right here on ACC Network and always on the ESPN app. If there's a good, there's a bad. If there's a best, there's a worst. Oh, boy. Oh, not free throws. I thought we weren't going to show that. But instead, we are, along with another list of inequities. Packer and Durham continue after this on ACC Network and SiriusXM 371.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
We went through what we thought were some of the best of the weekend. But, Wes, as you always point out, there's always the flip side.
Yeah. You want to start with Louisville's women's team? Tough week?
Yeah. And, you know, we mentioned they played the national team a week ago. Great crowd, great experience. Mm-hmm. Jeff Falls had been with us before the game and talked about, hey, I'm playing everybody. It's going to be an incredible opportunity. And you almost kind of wonder if they kind of got out of their routine a little bit.
Right.
Because really, since that game, they've gone LL, which is completely out of character, especially after starting off the season undefeated, and now find themselves one game behind NC State as they get ready to take on the Wolfpack Thursday in a critical ACC women's regular season game on Thursday night. But they go up to Q in company, and Q picks up win number 300 in his career, a great win for Syracuse as they knocked off Louisville.
Yeah, I think that the national team, I understand you wanted to play the game, but now did it take them out of routine, take them out of rhythm? I don't know that. I mean, look, those two teams that they've lost to are good teams.
Right.
And so don't take anything away from what Florida State and Syracuse were able to accomplish, but certainly disappointing week for Louisville. And, boy, it just puts more value on the game Thursday night, doesn't it?
Well, if you win that game, you're tied for first in terms of the record and, of course, get the tiebreaker from that perspective too a little bit. But, you know, we'll see how this thing plays out, but it does look to be a two-team race right now on the ladies' side with NC State and Louisville.
Let's load up for Virginia Tech. The Hokies of Mike Young have now lost 5 straight, and they're coming in all shapes and sizes now. I mean, this looked like they were going to pull it from the fire. I just said a moment ago, when it went to overtime, I thought Boston College maybe had their window closed, and then the Eagles came back and were able to get the win in the extra session. And
sweep the series.
Yeah.
How about that?
Exactly.
But Virginia Tech, Wes, you know, before the season started, I really thought this would be the 14th or 15th best team in the league. Mike Young surprised, I think, all of us with how well they played early.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're having a tough time making threes. And if they don't make threes,
right,
they're at the mercy of the basketball gods. Mm-hmm. And it's almost been after the quick, unexpected start, to the good. Now they've come back to earth a little bit, now losing five straight. I did think they were going to win this game over the weekend at home against BC, but still a lot to play for.
Yep.
It's been an interesting year for the Hokies, and their fans have had a good time at home at least. But that was five straight L's. They got to figure out a way to stop that ASAP.
All right. You're a Carolina fan. Might want to shield your eyes here for a second. Pack.
Or get some body gear. I mean, goodness gracious, the heels from the free throw line were atrocious.
Yeah. Wow, this is just not good. And it's down into the middle 60s, and that's just not good either. 21-38 the other night, their overall percentage for the season is down low. I mean, again, we're talking 64-65%.
The graphic on the screen, 17 missed free throws are the most versus Duke since 1957.
Right.
And when you talk about close games, and you're going to miss 17 of these.
Right.
You are asking for trouble.
Yep.
But it's been a problem all season for this team.
They are shooting very quickly. Let me pull this up. I want to make sure I hand out the proper information to you, Mark. They are shooting 64.5% against the conference. And that's a tough number. The number over the regular season is not a lot better. In fact, it's 64.8%. They're dead last in the ACC overall, regular season number. Below 65 in both categories, nonetheless.
When it comes to the infamous ACC index card,
tomorrow night,
Wake Forest hosts North Carolina. Those are the two teams that are 1-2 in free throw attempts in ACC games. 1-2. Wake 1, North Carolina 2.
I think, by the way, tomorrow night they're celebrating the 95 ACC Tournament Championship team. Randolph Childress and Tim Duncan and that crowd. I think that's tomorrow night.
I think you're right. I mentioned you earlier. I am intrigued to see what North Carolina gives me tomorrow night, given the emotion, energy, as well as they played. I mean, we're sitting here dwelling on the negative with the worst of, but the team really played well.
Yes, they did.
I mean, they really kind of controlled 98-99% of the game. And you give Duke credit for figuring out a way to win the thing when it mattered. But I think if you're a North Carolina fan, it's hard to be down on the effort that team gave you Saturday night. They played, I thought, their best game of the year.
Yeah. This is not the get off my lawn portion of the program.
It's close.
I promise it's not. You say it's close?
Hated them on Friday when we talked about it, and they looked even worse Saturday when I watched it. Please never bring these back. Never bring these back. You got two of the greatest looking uniforms in all of sport, and you come up with this trash. Because this was garbage.
Did Seth Greenberg call these practice jerseys earlier?
Yeah, he did. Some guy said on Twitter when we were killing it on Friday, said, I think they look great. You could buy these at the Duke store. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Knock yourself out. Buy them all. Get that all over you. You wouldn't wear that on Halloween. Those are bad. And there's no need to destroy it anymore. Those are just bad.
Didn't like them.
Somebody in Nike thought they came up with a really cool idea, and they whiffed. They missed it.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to call on your vast knowledge and history of Atlantic Coast Conference athletics. Is it the NC State unitard?
I told you last week the unitard was embarrassing. The unitard was awful.
Was it worse than this?
No, the unitard was the worst.
It stands alone by itself.
Unitard was just a terrible concept.
Right.
Bad.
Now,
but these were a bad idea because of the originals
are
as good as it gets.
Right.
Duke and North Carolina's basketball uniforms are pure.
Right.
Don't mess with it. Just don't mess with it. If you're one of these teams that is looking for attention,
right?
Hey, you know what? Put a peacock on it. I don't care what you do with it. But not Duke and North Carolina.
All right. I want to skew to a younger demographic. Josh, Drew. Now, we talked about it on the show, but now that you've seen them, I need a thumbs up or a thumbs down from you cats. Thumbs down?
Double.
What's the rest of the room say? I got to see a thumbs down in the back row. Captain Ron's throwing me a thumbs down.
Back row, Hank loved them.
Yeah, back row Hank loves them.
Yeah.
Really?
Those were his YMCA jerseys, though.
Look at Hank.
Playing for the Fairview Drugs.
Yeah.
YMCA team in the back. Back row Hank.
Is Hank, by the way, just out of curiosity's sake, is Hank affiliated with any particular ACC team?
No, he's a Boston University Terrier.
Well, we got, who's that throwing the thumbs down over there in the corner?
That's Lewis. Lewis.
That's Lewis.
Yeah. Lewis, oh, off, man, the 10-day contract now permanent
Lewis
member of the
Lewis is
Regers.
Every week.
Now Lewis is regular season roster now.
Lewis is every day, man.
Yeah.
They're bad.
I got to tell you, I was not thrilled. I really wasn't, and here's why. The idea of what Carolina wore years ago in the Joseph Forte, and I texted Jason Capel this. It was a bigger version of the block NC. Remember when the Bill Guthridge team had the block NC with the number below it?
Didn't like that either.
Yeah, and they wore that for a year.
I know.
And everybody talked about, well, it's a nod to the, you know, Jack
taste.
Cobb and, you know, Carmichael and all these. I'm thinking, okay, but it says North Carolina on it, and it says Duke on it. I wasn't a fan. You know what it looked like? And I hate to say this. I really hate to say this.
A bad YMCA record.
No. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. If you follow the NBA, a couple of years ago, they played the All-Star game with like some logo of the team that the player played from on the front of the jersey and just a name and a number on the back. And I hate to say this, but Greenberg's right. They look like practice jerseys. It looked like a practice game when we were out there the other night. Like a scrimmage.
Yeah, it looked
like
you
couldn't read the back. The nameplate on the back of the Carolina jersey, you couldn't read. It was in like a gray of some sort. And
they just whiffed, man. It was just,
And I get it.
You tried it, something different, 100-year anniversary, we get it. But you whiffed.
And kill me, by the way. I like numbers on the front. I'm okay. If you put a number on the front, I'm happy. You know?
Go back to the originals, which are a 10 on a 10 scale. It's real simple.
And by the way, Duke and Carolina both have some really classic looking jerseys that they've been able to modernize in the process, you know, and update them with different looks and colors and things like that. But
But the game was great, man.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
The uni stunk, but the game was great.
All right. Wake Forest, Syracuse. And it ends up on worst of the weekend. Here's why. Pack in the last 90 seconds. And of the ball game in regulation, and really in the it sequences in the first half, I thought shot selection was terrible. I really did. I mean, I saw some bad looking shots in this game, right?
Well, this one made your list.
Yeah, I mean, I watched this game and I thought, wow, is that not good? Not good.
All I know is Syracuse got another W, Wes. Keep getting a little bit higher in the glob. A little higher in the glob. Yeah. We'll get to accounting later on.
Yeah, we got accounting later on. We'll get to more of your phone calls, 844-SAY-ACCN. On the other side, Jay Billis going to join Packer and Durham. We'll talk about Duke Carolina and what does he think the spinoff is for tonight's ball game with Florida State for the Blue Devils of Mike Krzyzewski. Seth Greenberg says Coach K always goes and finds a cause, and tonight will be a cause. How does Billis see it? We will talk to Jay. And by the way, we'll put him on the spot. Where does he rank this edition of Duke Carolina in the pantheon of Tar Heel Blue Devils games? Stay tuned. Packer and Durham continues on a Monday on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham from the basement on a Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN. We will get your phone calls. A little bit of everything going on today. We had Seth Greenberg in hour number one. We now bring on the one and only Jay Billis.
Yep.
Jay, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. You have seen all kinds of unbelievable Duke North Carolina games. Man alive. I mean, it's hard to keep coming up with some kind of list, but that's got to go down as one of the all-timers.
Especially the finish, Pack. I mean, you just don't see, three-point game. And North Carolina did exactly the right thing. They fouled under 5 seconds in regulation. And Coach K put in a couple of shooters to put at the three-point line so they could tip the ball back out. I didn't anticipate that Trey Jones was going to, throw a bullet right at the rim. because that thing could have gone, it could go up, it could go down. It obviously could have gone, you know, straight back out. But to have that happen and then corral it and then hit the shot, there's so many things that had to happen for Duke to get that game to overtime. And then they wind up winning it on a missed free throw. And the ironic thing is North Carolina under Dean Smith, and then obviously Roy Williams carried it forward. That's been a staple of their, you know, sort of their free throw blockouts is when they're shooting a free throw, if there's a miss and they can't grab it, they tap it back out. And Wendell Moore wound up tipping that thing out, and it was just an extraordinary thing that a Lorenzo Charles finish. Who could have scripted that? It's ridiculous.
All right, Jay, I was asked this question several times at Clemson yesterday. Malcolm Huckabee even asked me on the air last night, is this one of the best Carolina Duke games of all time? And I said, the list is getting crowded, to be honest. I'm sure it's in the top 10. I just don't know where I put it in the top 10.
I don't know either. Yeah, it's going to probably going to, I'd have to look at a list too, because off the top of your head, there have been so many. And it's just, I was thinking the other night of the great games that, you know, we've all had the privilege of seeing, whether it's Duke, Carolina, or any other game. That finish is one I've never really seen before. You've seen a 3-point game where, you know, there's a foul and somebody ties it. And then, you know, you had Clemson, North Carolina, where Amir Sims hits the three and all that when they didn't foul. There's all kinds of games like that, but I've never seen a game where it had two, the regulation overtime endings quite like that. It was extraordinary. I don't know what the odds were of that, those two things happening, but the odds were really long for those to happen.
Yeah, I know that ESPN ran a graphic yesterday morning. I think I saw it on SportsCenter where they were talking about chances to win were like at 1.2 and 1.5% at two different times for Duke in the course of the game. All right, now the tough part, I guess, for Roy Williams and for Mike Krzyzewski is how do you handle the aftermath? And they come from obviously two different directions here. Carolina's got Wake Forest tomorrow night in Winston-Salem, but Duke has Florida State. And Seth Greenberg used the term cause for Coach K, says he, you know, finds a cause to get his team ready to play. I don't know what the cause is tonight, but I know one thing, the guy coming in the other door has got a squad. It's his cause.
Yeah, Leonard Hamilton's got a really good team, and he's got a really deep team that's athletic. I mean, it's a different feel for, you know, the ACC over the last several years having to play Saturday and Monday for Big Monday. And so it's a little bit different of a prep situation. But one, you know, I don't know about the cause thing. I've never heard Coach K use that before, but what he does is he says next play a lot, and you know, you bank what you've just done and you learn from and you move on. So it's sort of the next game. And I think Roy Williams would do the same thing. I think the hardest part is for North Carolina when they've been struggling to put that game together and then not win, it can be kind of deflating. So getting back up to play and compete again is probably a little bit harder than having to move on from something that was really good for Duke. But if you want to win the ACC, and I know all these teams do, you've got to put the last game behind, and then Florida State's the next one. Florida State and Duke are still a game behind Louisville. And if you want to be the number one seed and all that stuff, which I think these teams do, this is the next step on the ladder to climb there.
Jay, I thought that was North Carolina's best game of the year, and I'm sure North Carolina fans are going, hey, why can't we do that every time we play?
Yeah, that's the question, Pac. But I think for them, for that team, you know, they've had so much loss of continuity with all the injuries, so there's what you can expect and what they could deliver. I still don't think it's a great North Carolina team. But I think I said last time we were on, it's way better. They're way better than they've been playing. And I think that was shown the other night. So having Cole Anthony back, and he made his best decisions in that game. Like I thought outside of a couple of plays, you know, he made the right decisions all game long. He was very efficient. If I remember right, I don't have a stat sheet in front of me, but I think he only took 12 shots. He had 24 points, 11 rebounds. He had a few turnovers, but he had a really good game. And having his dynamic presence in there was really important. And people forget, you know, they played that game without Brandon Robinson. Mm-hmm. So they're still shorthanded and put up that kind of fight. So if they can bring it, you know, to that level against everybody else they play. There are very few teams out there that they can't compete with. I you know, they're not going to blow people away, but they're going to be competitive.
Jay Billis with us, of course, on Packer and Durham. I look at the way this is kind of unfolding, and we've talked about Louisville and Duke and Florida State. I thought what Louisville did on Saturday was exercise one of the ghosts that they had to get by, Jay. I just thought that, you know, Chris Mack's team had to beat Virginia in order to kind of, you know, validate themselves, if not for everybody else, and I'm not sure anybody else cares. But I think for Louisville, Saturday's win over Virginia was pretty important in the way their season can be told.
Yeah, I think that's right. And just continuing to play at a high level and to answer the bell, you know, so when, you know, Virginia had them in a down at times and was right there, and then they kept answering the bell. And I still think, you know, having David Johnson in there is such a huge thing for them. They're a different team with his dynamic play, and Louisville's got everything. You know, they've got big guys. They've got a National Player of the Year candidate in Jordan Wara, who can, you know, give you 30 in any given game. And they've got good guards. They can shoot it. But having Johnson in there, I think, is a huge boost to their chances to win this whole thing.
How about the rest of the glob, Jay? Notre Dame gets an important win last night on the road. Syracuse finds a way to eventually eliminate Wake Forest. Some teams are at least jockeying in position, waiting for their opportunity against ranked teams within the league.
Yeah, Notre Dame and Syracuse are both getting better, and they're playing now the way I think they expected to play the whole year. The problem is, and we've all talked about this and documented it, is it going to be enough? And, you know, everybody's dragging their non-conference records with them and their non-conference accomplishments. So the three teams that really have to continue to win, there are certain, I'm not sure they have must wins, but they need to knock off the higher value targets in the league, and then they can't lose against the lesser teams with the lesser records. And that's a tough position to be in. But for Syracuse, Notre Dame, and NC State, those are the three teams I think that have a legitimate chance to break through and be among the NCAA tournament teams that represent the ACC. And it's a tough spot. The ACC's overall profile does not give it as many quality win opportunities as like the Big Ten. And I think we talked about this last time. Like the Big Yep. Ten is all quad one games. And that's a killer for the ACC. It's really difficult.
You know, Jay, it was interesting. I had a conversation with Mike Bray Saturday night. Funny story, we were watching Carolina Duke on a phone. And you got, by the way, you were excellent on the app, I thought, during the course of the game.
I do my best work on the app.
Exactly. We were talking about exactly that topic, and he said, and ironically, this was before we knew that UCLA had beaten Arizona in Tucson the other night, Pac. Coach Bray was pretty revealing in saying, hey, look, we understand where the cards are on this. We've got to continue to be on the upswing in the ACC, and we got to hope things like UCLA. He goes, our win against UCLA, he goes, it could get good. He said, but right now it's probably just a marginal win. But then they turn around and beat Arizona, and I saw Rob Belanis yesterday, and he looked at me and I said, well, UCLA's getting better. I mean, the win against UCLA, it seems strange to say this, but I guess that's going to be one of those things that could help them down the road, right?
Those kind of things are going to happen. But I think one of the issues that the committee's going to have to deal with, and I think this is simple for them to handle. We all seem to think that there's more parity this year than there's ever been. At least I do. And okay. I've sort of bristled against the term parity over the years because I think that's it's a weak way to sort of explain an upset. But what we've got this year, some teams that seem to be so similar. Well, if everybody's in the same pot and we think they're relatively equal, and we think anybody can win on a given day, then the next answer is how many given days have you had? And you got to start counting up the quality wins. And I still think the ACC is in better shape than most people seem to think it's in, because I think it's going to be a hard mental hurdle for the committee to put in a team that's 5-13 or, you know, 6-14 or whatever from another league. I don't think that's going to happen. I still think you're going to have to pile up some wins, and they're not going to devalue power conference wins from another league unless, you know, you see comparable records out of that league. But the one thing to worry about is what happened to NC State last year. Like, NC State won 9-9 in the league back when there were 18 games, but their non-conference schedule was so weak that that the committee said, "Well, you know, you didn't play, you didn't challenge yourself," which I didn't understand, honestly. If they say it's your total body of work, who cares where your games came from? It's the number of quality games you played, the number of quality games you won. It shouldn't matter that, well, you know, we have a murderer's row in our league, therefore we took it easier ourselves on the non-conference. You get punished for that. I didn't think that was the right thing to do to NC State last year.
Jay, before we let you go, I want to go back to the play that Trey Jones made. And you've been on that bench as a coach. You've done a trillion games as a broadcaster. Man, that was absolutely brilliant, wasn't it? I mean, I know it was executed to perfection. I'm kind of surprised. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, my first response when you said that play that Trey Jones made is like, which one? That dude made so many plays.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're talking about the end of regulation. You know, where I was sitting, I didn't process. Okay, he's taken a step to the right when he was shooting it, and I've seen guys try that before, where they've tried to throw it, you know, quick throw it off the front of the rim. I've never seen it done that well. And the fact that it bounced so perfectly to his right out to the three-point line. In fact, I think Matthew Hurt just about was able to grab it himself, which is where Coach K positioned him. And I think Alex O'Connell was on the left. And for that to have happened, and then him to be first to the ball, Leaky Black was there, and he wound up getting knocked away. And it got knocked away. At first, I thought, geez, did he double dribble? I mean, you'd hate to have another sort of Auburn Virginia thing where we're dealing with a double dribble. And then made the shot. It was incredible. I mean, the place was in stunned silence, and I don't think. But it was that, and then the fact that the same kind of thing happened at the end of the overtime period. You're like, are you kidding? That's impossible. It's like watching like a Rocky movie when the guys take 1,000 punches and they're still standing up. You go, come on, that's not reality. That could never happen. Right. And I really felt that way. It was almost like it was surreal.
Yeah, it's just an amazing sequence of events. Well, enjoy yourself tonight. That should be quite a show at Cameron, Jay. Duke and the emotional ride from Saturday night to tonight, and certainly the kind of year Florida State's having, I think you're in for a heck of a show.
Should be a lot of fun, and can't wait to get there. Thanks for having me, you guys. Great to be with you.
You bet. Yeah, Jay, thank you. Appreciate it. Jay Billis, he'll be with Sean McDonough and Allison Williams tonight at Cameron, 7 o'clock on ESPN. For the Noles and the Blue Devils, sir.
Curious to see what's left in the emotional tank for Duke, because Florida State's going to bring it tonight.
Oh, no question.
The Noles will be excited about being there.
Yep, you betcha. Don't forget Friday nights at 9. Well, it's become a staple, quite frankly, on this network, and that's Bald Men on Campus. Fellas will be on the road in the Big Ten, but they'll be checking out the ACC week and taking you through the weekend. LaFonso Ellis, Jay Billis, Seth Greenberg. BMOC is Friday night at 9, right here on ACC Network and always streaming on the ESPN app. All right, when we come back, we'll get to your phone calls, 844-SAY-ACCN. Little facts and filaments from the weekend around the ACC. Leonard Hamilton, another big win as they get ready for the game tonight in Durham against the Blue Devils. And Bryson Goodine is the hero for the Orange. Yeah, you had that. You knew all along that's who was going to hit the game winner. Stay tuned. Packer and Durham rolls on Monday on ACC Network, Sirius XM 371, and the ESPN app.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the show. Thanks again to Seth Greenberg and Jay Billis. Elijah Hughes from Syracuse will join us coming up in the Power Hour as we go till 10 a.m. and get you ready for the weekend.
Elijah Hughes been with us before, I think.
I think so.
I think so, too. Looking forward to having him back. I got my handy-dandy card here, by the way, kids. Look at there, huh? Marked up for the weekend and everything. Look at that right there. Got it all right there. That's how the ACC looks today, Pack. Right there. There it is. You like that?
I think it's cute. You got a bunch of colors.
Well, I got to keep everything in color, man. It's the way it is. Detailed business for me on the preparation side.
Just add more expense buying all those colored pencils.
Oh, man. You know what? You want me to just bring them all in here one day and set them up
really
in a bucket for you?
Okay. I really don't. Good. You know why? Well, you know what happens to colored pencils in this house?
They get eaten by Fuller.
Chewed by the big boy.
Chewed by the
That's
big
what
boy.
Happens.
My friend down here on the floor.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Take a call or two here. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Jay in North Carolina leads the way. Jay, good morning. How are you?
Oh, fine. I'm Wes and Mark. I'm not saying that it was a great Carolina Duke game if you didn't care who won, but Carolina lost the game because of missed free throws and defense, and also the last 5 minutes, which most Carolina Duke games are decided, was Duke played zone and slowed them up, and Carolina didn't play zone because there's no way Anthony could guard Trey Jones with four fouls. I didn't understand why you didn't change the defense or take him off of Jones. And to me, that's where the game was lost.
Well,
you gotta guard people.
Guarding is certainly a fundamental skill in the game of basketball. There's no doubt about that. But I will just tell you, when you're playing a tight game and you miss 17 free throws, it will come back to haunt you. And I thought North Carolina played its best game of the season. I thought when Duke went small late and spread the court, they were able to drive. That was a smart move by Krzyzewski. But Roy Williams, man, all he's got to do is look at that free throw line. That to me is ball game. Ball game. I mean, you cannot miss 17 free throws and expect to win a close game against a really talented team like Duke. You're not going to.
Yeah,
you still almost figured it out, but despite that. But 17 missed free throws to me was the ultimate neon sign off the stat sheet or if you watch the game.
Well, the way you attack the zone and the way you attack man, if you're Carolina, you got to sort out just, you know, kind of – and, yeah, you're playing with foul trouble, but Duke's playing with foul trouble too.
Sure.
That's kind of why they went to zone, I guess, in some respect at the end. But, again, it becomes about the inventory of your team. And Carolina may not be a great zone team, and that's why they didn't play zone. I mean, they don't play a lot of it to start with. They don't pressure very much at times. I thought they were able to keep Duke in front of them with the exception of Carey in the first half. Sounded like they were able to do a pretty good job, at least for what their checklist was. You know, the last 5 minutes of a game can be frenetic, and you double and triple that when it's these two because of the way the game goes.
You make free throws.
It is free throws.
Hey, you're up double digits with 2 minutes and 10 seconds to go, just make your free throws.
Well,
I mean, come on. This is not that hard to figure out.
No, and it also goes back to other things, too. It is free throws, but it's also on you to get the stop. No matter what you're playing, man, zone, you know, what have you, get stops, get rebounds, do the detail work. I mean, we were talking about Wake Syracuse and shot selection at the end of each half, and especially at the end of the ball game. Those type things. Virginia Tech, Boston College, Duke, Carolina, it's magnified five times. But in Carolina's case, look at that number.
I mean, that's a neon sign is what that is right there.
Right.
9 of 16.
Yeah.
You're up 10. You got 2 minutes to close the deal. You've played a great night of basketball. You've been the better team with 2 minutes to go in the game. They're giving you the easiest shot in the game. Mm-hmm. Free throw. Go make it. You can't go 9 of 16 down the stretch against a team as good, as well-coached, and as talented as Duke and expect there not to be a problem.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's a frustrating loss, and it's now upon the Tar Heels, just as it is to Duke, who won the game now, to find a way to relight it and go. Tuesday night in Winston-Salem for Carolina, tonight at home against Florida State for Duke. And I'll tell you this now, that is a lot. That deal tonight for the Blue Devils is a lot.
You better reach deep down tonight because I'm telling you, Florida State's going to hit you in waves. And they're going to be excited to play it. That's the other thing. They're not walking in there like, oh, my God, we're at Cameron. We can't win here. Even though they've not had great success here the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
They will be excited to see Duke.
No question. And love the environment.
No, they'll feed off of it.
I think the last time they won in there, Michael Snare hit the shot, right?
I think they won one game in the last 5 years at Cameron.
Oh, that was
it's not been great.
Yeah, but Michael Snare hit that jumper out of the corner, I know, on a Saturday to beat them one time.
Other games are this weekend. We mentioned Boston College figuring out a way, speaking of overtime wins, to go into Blacksburg and knock off the Hokies. The Hokies have got to figure out a way to stop the bleeding in some shape, way, or form. They've lost five straight, and BC continues to play good basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim Christian's guys have really gave Duke a tussle last week, and to be able to pick that up, take it on the road, and win in overtime, Wes, Mitchell goes off. A nice win for BC.
Absolutely a nice win. Stephon Mitchell, by the way, 21 points and 15 rebounds for Coach Christian's club. If you're Mike Young, guess what you also bought yourself last week? A week off. Pitt at Virginia Tech is Saturday night, 6 o'clock here on ACC Network. You got to sit through that a whole week if you're Mike Young.
Well, maybe a good way just to kind of cleanse the mind a little bit and just say, hey, we're back to square one. But they got to start making threes, too. They've really had a tough time beyond the arc.
No question about that. Also in the ACC, we told you about the Panthers getting the win. They get Georgia Tech 73-64. Justin Champagne, who will be with us tomorrow on this show, a career-high 30 for Pittsburgh. After a tough loss at Notre Dame, they bounce back.
And that was the ultimate glob game, wasn't it?
Yep.
For
yes,
both of
it
them.
Was.
I mean, they're both. I mean, that was one of those. Again, I'm sure when we go through accounting, it'll show itself from that perspective. But again, I like Pitt's backcourt. Liked them before the season started to make the jump into the middle tier of the ACC. I think they're going to get there.
Yeah, Georgia Tech, by the way, tied for 10th now with Virginia Tech. Jackets would own the tiebreaker. They only play once during the year. They beat them last week in Atlanta handily.
The game you had last night.
Yeah, and then Clemson falls at home without Amir Sims, who is home with the flu, 61-57. Rex Pfluger, a season high 18. John Mooney's 40th career double-double, which ties him for 7th all-time at Notre Dame. 16 points, 11 rebounds last night. He leads the ACC and is number 2 nationally.
And the Tigers without Sims, I mean, after a back-to-back 44 spot on the road, you take Sims out of the lineup, they just have a hard time scoring.
Well, let me tell you now, this little freshman from Indiana, Henneman,
last night,
comes off the bench. Looks like his mom dropped him off at the ball game. And he comes out last night and works the floor like it's his driveway. So we'll have more on the Tigers and the Irish coming up. Hour 3, the Power Hour, coming up next. Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network.